these scriptures printed in our bulletin, and the ones that I'll refer to are on page 6 and 7 in your bulletin, and I may ask you to read some of those with me as we go along in the sermon this morning. I'm glad to be here. Are you?
Yes.
Amen. It's good to be in the house of God. I feel a little bit like Bilbo Baggins, however, in The Hobbit. Not wanting to have any adventures, I get them anyway. I thought a month ago that surely I'll be ready for this morning. I'll have a sermon ready. Are you kidding me? Oh, my. Well, I have some thoughts ready, yes. But I really don't like adventures very well, getting into new territory, new experiences. I'd rather kind of stay at home. That would be good. I don't want to be going up any mountain with Jesus for a night of prayer. Do you? Not today, anyway. Maybe tomorrow Jesus can come to my house and we'll have some tea. By using this phrase, 6 days later, Matthew deliberately relates this account of the mountain to Peter's declaration in previous paragraphs. You'll remember that, some of you who've been in church a while. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Or in more modern English, Jesus, you are the long-awaited Messiah, God's Son. Jesus explains shortly after that he is going to go to Jerusalem, where he will suffer rejection and death and resurrection. He also tells his rather small band of disciples the hard facts of being one of his followers. He talks about self-denial and taking up a cross to follow him. It's not good news for the disciples. They didn't want to hear it. Now let's think about Jesus going up that mountain and why he may have chosen to do that at this point near the center of Matthew's gospel. Let's try to get the point of view of first century Middle Eastern culture. Jesus must be a little unsure that this is the way to go. And he knows it could be devastating to his band of students. If he dies, then what hope would there ever be that the kingdom of heaven that he and John the Baptist have been preaching would be a reality on earth? Think about it. Matthew is carefully showing his readers that Jesus needed some reassurance from God and the company of the men that he knew. The way of the ancient ones was to withdraw to the hills or the mountains and wait and pray. And Jesus chooses to do that. And he chooses 3 men to go with him. Up they go in the evening at the end of the day of work. And they, being the 3 he summoned, Peter, James, and John. I imagine a long walk uphill. The sun sinks into the west. The sky is darker by degrees after sundown, and then deepening twilight. In a place comfortable for the 4 of them, they settle down and prayers commence. Quietly. 4 fits what it says in the gospel, doesn't it? I'm pretty sure it says they went up by themselves, up a high mountain by themselves, really. Well, note a series of events in rapid succession. First of all, it says the transfiguration of Jesus happens. Well, obviously, they were not alone. There was some presence there, or who could have transfigured Jesus? The word transfiguration is English, which comes from a Greek word. And the Greek word is the same word from which we get metamorphosis. Jesus was morphed right in front of them. Jesus didn't do it to himself. There is a force upon the mountain there to change the appearance of the Master. And the verb is passive. Some force is working, and then Moses and Elijah appear. Oh my goodness. Then Peter speaks. Sure. You'd expect that, wouldn't you? You just open the mouth. I'm sure something will come out. The cloud comes, and a voice speaks out of the cloud. Listen to him. So let's look again at the gospel on page 7 of your bulletin. Remember, Peter now is the one speaking when we get to verse 5. So let's read verse 5 and 6 aloud. Please join your voice with mine together. While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. Well, I'll stop right there. I'm not sure I should be standing talking about this. George Arthur Buttrick was a masterful preacher in the United States of America, starting his ministry about 100 years ago. He died in 1980, but his books are still being read. I will quote him about this passage of scripture. For myself, he said, "I have never preached on the transfiguration. It is the Shekinah of the New Testament. I shield my eyes and bow my head." What he means by Shekinah, that may be a new word to you, a word from Hebrew language, is the palpable presence of the Holy One. We read about it this morning when we read from Exodus. The presence of God, the glory of God came down upon the mountain. It was a cloud. It covered the whole mountain, and Moses disappeared into it. But I thank God for the comforting words that come next in verse 7. Will you read that with me? Verse 7, just one verse. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." Now, there's one to remember. mean, right now, remember it. Take it home with you. Get up and do not be afraid. Gospel story that calms fears. It continued after Jesus' death and resurrection with the people who became Christians later, and they began to establish churches outside of Jerusalem and among the Gentiles. In the book of Acts, we read about them. In chapter 8, we discover a man named Philip. Philip is one of the preachers of the time, a follower of Jesus, and he'd been preaching in Samaria. But he's given a message by a messenger of God to start walking south to Jerusalem and then take a desolate road on down to Gaza. So Philip got up and went. I like it. The disciples, after Jesus was gone from the scene, they still are hearing Jesus' instructions. It says an angel of the Lord appeared. But they accept that as Jesus talking to them. Philip was on that road, a desolate road. I would not want to be there. I don't really like going down desolate roads. He met an Ethiopian eunuch that was coming along the road as well. The eunuch had been in Jerusalem, and now he's returning to his home in Ethiopia, where he is a minister in charge of all the finances of the queen, who's called Candace. And he's in a chariot riding, and he has a scroll open. And this scroll is from the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit talks to Philip. When you read about the Spirit in the book of Acts, you think, this is the Spirit of Jesus. The Spirit says, climb into the chariot. So Philip is now running alongside the chariot. And Philip could hear the eunuch reading Isaiah. So he says, do you understand what you're reading? Oh, how can I without some help, the eunuch says. So he invites Philip into the chariot with him. Tell me now, who is this prophet talking about? And that's when Philip took his opportunity to talk to him about Jesus. And then the chariot came close to a stream of water. He wants to know, the man wants to know if he can be baptized on the spot. They stop. The eunuch is baptized. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of God suddenly took Philip off. Well, Philip was not afraid to follow. Sometimes we need help to be fearless, to be able to get up and do what God asks us to do. There was a preacher by the name of Frederick Buechner, told his story in the book called Telling Secrets. He was sitting in his parked car on the roadside, very depressed. he was quite afraid. His entire family was dealing with a daughter's illness. The whole family is afraid. And while he's sitting and thinking, he noticed a car coming along the road. And for some reason, he looked at the license plate on the car. And it spelled T-R-U-S-T. Trust. All of a sudden, it was like God's message to Buechner. He said, for me, it was an epiphany. He wrote his story, and a trust officer in a bank read Buechner's story. Oh, this is me. This is my car, my license plate. He called Buechner. He gave the license to him. Buechner put it on his bookshelf. It reminds him of his trust. He says it's a little rusty, battered. To him, it's a holy icon. Sometimes we need a little help to take the gospel seriously. That voice on the mountain, when it's Jesus finally, Jesus alone with the disciples, get up and do not be afraid. You got it? Have you memorized it? Oh, good. Get up and do not be afraid. Well, at one point, the disciples were heavy with sleep, but you know they stayed awake. Stay awake. Stay awake. We need some awakening times periodically when everything is going wrong or in times of sorrow, in times of need. Here's a prayer of awakening. Lord, keep me always awake to you. I notice as we read 2 Peter that after Peter talks about that they were on the mountain and they heard that voice and that scary cloud, notice they're not scared anymore. The apostolic writings don't show fear now. They know. From 2 Peter, you must keep on paying attention until daylight comes and the morning star rises. Well, we didn't get invited to that mountain. Most of us live in the valley of the ordinary, and we stay there. We've got a garbage container to get out to the curb, and 15 emails waiting for an answer. Mail a birthday gift to your niece, supper at 6. Brother-in-law is waiting for a ride home from the hospital, and a pile of dirty dishes. Jesus came over on the mountain and touched them. Don't be afraid. Ah, it's my friend Jesus. When they opened their eyes and they looked all around after all that, all they saw was Jesus. How simple, how refreshing. Now they get the message. Get up and do not be afraid. We weren't there on the mountain, but I believe Jesus is still summoning people to get up and follow. 21st century. Read some lines from the song, The Summons by John Bell. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where? where you don't know and never be the same. Lord, your summons echoes true. When you but call my name, let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I'll go where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll live and move and grow in you and you in me. Jesus says, get up and do not be afraid. Closing prayer. Oh God, give me eyes to see your wonders, ears to hear your word, feet to follow in your way, and a heart of courage. Amen.